In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You might have seen the story from the Norway State Church. A massive exodus in the month of August via their website. They made it easier for members to leave and to join there. And in August alone, almost 25,000 members left the Norway State Church. And by comparison, the church had lost only about 8,500 members in the first 7 months of 2016 before that online option was introduced. Why did this happen? Why this massive exodus in the month of August? Joining us to answer that question and some other questions about Lutheranism in Norway, Pastor Torkild Masvi. He's Provisional Bishop of the Lutheran Church of Norway, and he joins us from Oslo. Pastor Masvi, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you very much.
How would you explain the, now that it's easy for citizens in Norway to do so, the relatively massive exodus from the Norway State Church?
Well, first of all, it has to do with how easy it is to do now. I think there are three kind of people who are leaving now. There's a smaller group that are leaving because of the liberal direction the Church of Norway has taken when it comes to the issue of gay marriage. It's a significant group, but still, I personally believe it's the smallest part of this big group, because there's two other parts, two other ones that are leaving. The one is those who should never have been in this membership at all, because Church of Norway, when they were to separate from the state, needed a membership account. And they asked the government, as being a state church, they asked for money to build up from scratch with the congregation books from every congregation and no exact membership. Well, the authorities said, no, we want a cheaper version, which is that we consider everyone to be a member of the state church and take away those who don't belong there. And then it meant that the bishop of the Catholic Church suddenly discovered he was a member of the state church, etc. So this has really caused trouble, havoc for the reputation of Church of Norway, because people were upset. They have never been there, never been baptized into the church, and suddenly they're members. So it has taken quite a bit of anger, and their reputation has been in trouble. So I think the Church of Norway now wanted to make it so easy to get out that no one can complain anymore that the kind of this Church of Norway is holding back. Then, of course, there are those who were lukewarm or unhappy. They don't feel at home. They don't believe in God. They don't think they want to be there. And they are now making use of this. So personally, I believe that it won't be these big numbers in the following months. That's what I believe.
Let's talk a little bit about that first group that you mentioned there, this minority of those who are leaving on a matter of principle over the church's stance on gay marriage. What exactly has this Norway State Church decided about gay marriage?
Well, what they have done is decided that, there were two groups of bishops. The majority were supporting the gay marriage issue, and the minority of bishops said no to it. Well, there is a fear in such a church that the winner takes all. So when the minority bishops discovered what way this was going, they went for a compromise, saying that we united all the bishops now will say we will have two liturgies. One is the old liturgy for man and woman, and then we will introduce a new liturgy. And the new liturgy will be combined, man and woman and gay. So it means they are stripping this new liturgy of everything relating to the man-woman relationship as we are in the image of Christ in the congregation. And of course, there's no theology then to back up this, and the liturgy will just be strange, funny. So this has upset the core, the best people, the core of Church of Norway, who are now have given up. And many of them hadn't gone to church for a long time. They had gathered in their prayer houses in congregation, like hybrid fellowships, hybrid congregation fellowships, and are now leaving Church of Norway. And someone wants to join us. Someone wants to be in the low church, pietistic prayer house congregations. This is the way where they're going.
How does this compare with the position of your church, the Lutheran Church of Norway?
Well, this is the reason for our existence, that the inerrancy of Scripture that doesn't allow for woman pastors, doesn't allow for same-sex marriage. It is we are created in the image of God as man and woman. We are together in marriage as a reflection of the relationship between Christ and the congregation. So, unfortunately, it's confirming the reason we should come into existence, because we want only to continue the Reformation Church that we once had. It is the Reformation Church that was still pretty good about 150 years ago at the time, or 170 years ago at the time of Kaspari, which was a good friend of the Missouri Synod.
The Church of Norway, even apart from this recent exodus because of the ability to do it online, had already been declining in membership, hadn't it?
Yes, you have. I mean, one is the decline of membership as you study, and the real big threat is that fewer and fewer of the members of Church of Norway are baptizing their kids. You see that especially in Oslo. And, I mean, if the one older people are dying out, and there's few people being baptized in as kids, we're talking about a dramatic shift within the next generation. But, of course, hardly anyone goes to church of the members. 2% of the members go to church on a Sunday, on average.
That's a pretty remarkably small number, especially as compared to kind of church-going statistics here in the United States. How do you explain only 2% in church on a Sunday?
Well, it's because that people wanted to be a member of the church, but they didn't want to be a part of the fellowship. In the old days, many people wouldn't go to communion either. They would go to church if there was a special event, and that's especially now. I mean, if you look at the 2% number I gave you, that 2% is actually pumped up by all the times there is a confirmation or baptism or other events where distant relatives will come independent of where they are in the issue of faith. So in Oslo, I mean, our congregation in Oslo is really worshiping 60 now, which is above the number in most of the state church congregations in Oslo. Someone has less than 20 on the normal Sunday in a big building.
Talk about the cultural context, really kind of the cultural atmosphere that is pervasive in Norway. I take it to be one of kind. They consider themselves one of the leading lights, along with the other Scandinavian countries, in progressive politics as well as a new kind of morality.
Well, I think we're a little behind the Swedes. We have been for many years behind the Swedes, but we're catching up, I think. I think both Sweden and Denmark are ahead of us, and we may be closer to where Finland is, a little behind the other ones.
How would you describe that cultural context that your church exists in now?
Well, on one hand, we have kind of 70% of all that we pass on the street will be members of Church of Norway. On the other hand, hardly any one of them, except a very, very small percent, would be involved in church life. They wouldn't express any faith in Christ. In the public debate, Church of Norway has a very weak voice. Very weak voice. They're hardly visible. What we have seen is then secularism and also New Age to some extent, and now Islam is coming with stronger force. And we also see that in big parts of Oslo now, the vast majority of the school children are non-Norwegian, and in many parts also they're Muslims. So it means that you have some Christian private schools where the foreign kids that are Christians are coming to, like the Christian Pakistani. They want them to come to Christian private school in order to avoid the harassment in some public schools for being Christians. I don't know if that answers your question.
Is it safe to say, Pastor Massivy, that the state church has kind of followed behind the culture there in Norway in its secularization?
Yeah, absolutely right. And they are trying desperately to be relevant. And by that, they're losing the core of who they are. That's absolutely right.
Finally, is there any social, political, legal pressure on churches like yours, Lutheran Church of Norway, to comply with issues like gay marriage?
Not yet, but it may come. You see, in Norway, we have a unique kind of state support for religious work, which actually now, as the membership of the state church is going down, has a funny effect. You see, Church of Norway had covered all their expenses. At the same time, in a democracy, they say we want to treat every group the same. Muslims, other Christian groups, even atheist groups. And the government says, we will give you the same amount per member of support as we give the Church of Norway of support. Which means if there's a decline of 100,000 members in Church of Norway, and they still get the same amount, which they do, suddenly the per-member support for the rest of us goes up. At the same time, the politicians are saying, well, this is the government's money, and now many voices are saying, if you don't comply with those and those political signals, we will consider dropping the whole support. And unfortunately, there are some groups in Norway that have become dependent on that money. That is not the biggest threat, because for a group like ours, that money counts for nothing, and we give it away anyway. We tithe from our donations in church, and we even give away all the state support we get in order to stay, not be under that stringent patch politics. But the problem is that one day we'll make it illegal to, let's say, hire only male men as pastors, etc. And that day may come. It's not there yet, but we shouldn't be too sure about the future.
With only about 30 seconds here, Pastor Massivy, what is the future of confessional Lutheranism in Norway?
I actually think it's brighter than it has been before, because the liberal Lutheranism has failed. If people understand that there's no bite to it, there's no Bible in it, there's no life and death in it. And I think the young ones, I mean, in our church, it's only the young ones who join us. And I think they want the real stuff. So I think our future is bright.
Pastor Torkild Massivy is Provisional Bishop of the Lutheran Church of Norway. He joins us live from Oslo. Pastor Massivy, thank you very much, and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
Folks, Luther Academy is committed to serving Lutheran pastors, church workers, and lay people to the ends of the earth. They just recently completed a deaconess training seminar in Malaysia. You can find out about this worldwide mission outreach at lutheracademy.com. Be sure to sign up to receive their free email newsletter, lutheracademy.com. On the other side of the break, our weekly update on the November elections with Mark Hemingway of the Weekly Standard and Molly Hemingway of the Federalist.
Over and over again, I tried to let the entire book reflect this, that the holiness of all the saints is only the holiness of Jesus reflected in their lives.
Pastor Will Wheaton, author of the new book, Celebrating the Saints.
And this holiness of Christ is the thing which the saints grabbed onto in faith, and it illumined their lives.
You can purchase Celebrating the Saints by calling 1-800-325-3040 or at issuesetc.org.
Here at Elm Grove Evangelical Lutheran Church, you'll find folks just like you, sinners in need of what only Christ can give, the full forgiveness of all of our sins. In a world where change turns things upside down, we serve a Lord who never changes and who has promised to be with us always, until the very end of the age. If you find yourself in the Milwaukee suburbs, look us up. Elm Grove Evangelical Lutheran Church is the only Lutheran church in Elm Grove, Wisconsin.
You're invited to a special service commemorating the 160th anniversary of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. It's a Vespers service beginning at 4 on Saturday afternoon, September the 10th. I have the honor of preaching for this anniversary celebration. Worship in one of the most beautiful sanctuaries in Greater St. Louis, Saturday, September the 10th, at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel. If you want to stay for dinner, RSVP 618-633-2209.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the CLCC.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. The CLCC.org.
Lutheran. It's not a slogan. It's a confession. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.